One of the most popular pieces of data that you hear from communication and voice people is this one: about 7% of the message is interpreted in the words. Today, I'm going to dispel that and focus on how we have to use discernment when deciding what we believe. I think you're going to like this episode, and I don't want you to miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with me here on the show today. I've got a great episode for you today. I'm calling myself out a little bit, and I'm debunking some data that everybody quotes. You know, I've been on this super kick. I've always been on a kick about integrity. But I've been on a super kick about show me the data, quantify it, because I feel such a strong responsibility about what I teach you. And I won't do a deep dive on the why behind that, but there are very specific reasons why I'm doing this. I'm doing a whole episode on the loss of buyer trust. And as a part of that, that is what was the catalyst for my most recent research study, is I see a lot of people saying a lot of things. And if you stopped and asked them, show me the data on that, they couldn't. Quantify that for me. Explain the backstory on that. They couldn't. And I've seen a lot of people hanging their hat on a statistic that they don't really know the backstory on. You have heard me use this statistic, and honestly, I should have used it differently. There is accuracy to this statistic. When I initially, and I haven't used this statistic in a long time, when I initially quoted this, I did not understand the true research on it. I knew part of the research, but I had not studied the research, which is really a pretty hard and fast rule in my book. So I first and foremost have to say, you know what? I've given you information years ago, maybe you never even heard me talk about it, that I want to reframe for you, because it's not that it is not accurate, but it is not the data to hang the hat on. So there's a couple of things at play here. One is the end-all, be-all of this research as being the catalyst for change is not accurate. And it bothers me a lot that, and really I've been heavy on this kick for a number of years now. It bothers me a lot that people deliver information that they have no clue what they're talking about. And I've always really been a researcher. I've always prided myself on what I teach you, the work that I do with you, came from a research study that I most likely did. A couple of years ago, when COVID hit specifically, we really hit this space of everybody's an expert. And this really the catalyst for a lot of this happened a long time ago when I trademarked psychology of the voice. Many of the terms that you hear me say are trademarked. They are my own creations that came out of my own research. And my trademark attorney, my copyright attorney, he said something to me years ago and it really impacted me. He said, and obvious for obvious reasons, you have a trademark and copyright in place because people take your stuff. And he said to me, he said, you have a responsibility to make sure, if you are trademarking something, you have a responsibility to make sure that it is not misrepresented in the marketplace. So if people are taking your trademark and they are using it, or taking your copyrighted material and using it, and they're doing it wrong, that's on you, Tracy. And that really, really hit me hard. And I've always felt like I've had that. I have taken the things that come out of my mouth that seriously. But when I look at something like this study that I quoted years ago, I can go, you know what? I don't know that I gave the disclaimer on this. I don't know that I explained the backstory on this. And for that, I take tremendous responsibility. And so I want to talk about this statistic. And by now you're probably thinking, okay, what is the statistic already? The statistic is, or the data is, you've all heard it, that communication is, the way a message is interpreted is 55% nonverbal, 38% voice, 7% words. The most recent I've talked about this was a couple of years ago. I started tracking this data. When I started tracking this data, that I really dove deep into the research on it. I was familiar with the study. I hadn't done a deep dive on the study, though. And I started watching this, especially at COVID, when I had so many companies that had so many conversations via Zoom where people were not putting their cameras on. And so I knew that they only had words and voice to work with. The nonverbal was gone. The facial expression was gone. The eye contact was gone. And so I really started tracking this data. You may have heard me say, all of this statistic is going to flip. This is not going to be an accurate statistic. It was always an accurate statistic, but it was so selective to state it as a general broad stroke is actually where it gets a little wobbly. Is the data correct? Yes. But it is the test audience that they used and the purpose of the testing that cannot make this a broad stroke. Now, my data shows that I have collected over the last almost 4 years is that if there was a 55%, 38%, 7%, that voice actually now trumps nonverbal. Does that mean nonverbal doesn't matter? Absolutely not. You see the background. You see the way I look. You see all of that. You see my facial expressions. All of that plays into this. But it is because of going online and going behind the screens and not putting my camera on that voice and the value of voice escalated exponentially and quickly. It is because of what has happened in the last 3 years that now the statistic around voice is so important and nonverbal is secondary. Words will always be secondary to voice, and that is because of the vibration of sound. Your words will never trump your sound from a vibrational standpoint because it's not possible. It is nanoseconds that your sound hits me before your words, but your sound leads. So the words will never be in that highest percentage. Sound will be in a higher percentage than words. And it's looking like, according to the study, not only the data that I've been collecting for 3 years, but the study that I just did, that voice is the most critical piece. Now, this study, the formula came, it was developed with a specific purpose, comparing facial and vocal components to decipher a person's attitude. That was, it's just like the study that I just did. I did a study to look at the moments, the seconds when we determine trust, the seconds, the moments we determine buying, and where do they intersect? That was the point of the study. The point of the study here was comparing facial and vocal components to decipher a person's attitude. And this is the key right here. And I'm going to tell you what is the most important thing about this study that is even more important than the, I don't even want to call it misinformation, but the quoting of this study without understanding it. That's the problem. So the percentages represent a widespread Moravian's rule of personal communication. The roots of this formula, and I'm reading this from the actual study or a white paper on the study, roots of this formula date back to the late 1970s. The 7-38-55 rule appeared as a result of two studies carried out by Albert Moravian in 1967. This estimate is based on faulty analysis because the study was limited to 37 female psychology majors, and the language prompt was limited to but one word, and that word was maybe. So it's not that the study is a lie. It is not a lie. But it is not a study that is applicable across all sections, segments, human race, every time. No, it was selective. And so it becomes misleading, like the three times I saw last week, for people to hang their hat on, this is the fact. It is a fact, but it is not a generalization to everyone. What is a generalization? What I can honestly and quantifiably say to you is that your voice now holds the greatest percentage of impact over nonverbal. So what becomes important? What becomes important is alignment. And you probably have heard me talk about this a lot. Mind, body, voice, aligned. It's not even about the percentage of how impactful your words are. Like I said, your words will not be more impactful than your sound. But what becomes critical is mind, body, and voice are connected. Now, when I talk about mind, I'm talking about words. When I'm talking about body, I'm talking about nonverbals, facial expression, not talking about the scenery behind me, but I'm talking about within you. Mind is the words, body is the gestures, voice is the tone. We do not function in alignment, meaning my words match my sound, match my body. We don't function that way. We have generally got a dominant or a misrepresentation. And that misrepresentation comes from our own insecurities. The misrepresentation comes from our voice masks, like being a people pleaser or being a needing to prover, or I put my professional mask on. They come from voice stories. They come from where we're working from. So things get out of alignment. The funny example that I like to give is funny, but it's not funny. And you've heard me say it a million times, is the husband asks the wife, is everything okay? Because he can look at her body language and say, I think something's wrong. Let me check. And he says, is everything, are you okay? Because he senses something in her body language. And she says, I'm fine. But she says it like this. She says, I'm fine. Now we're out of alignment, because what's happening is I'm fine. Actually, those words mean I'm okay. but the tone and the body language are out of sync. And maybe the body language is normal, but I think you get the point. We struggle with alignment. When I worked at Mike Nichols' school, Mike Nichols was a very famous director. He was married to Meryl Streep. He directed The Graduate. He directed a lot of movies that were famous. He had a school in New York City. I was a voice coach there. During that time in New York, I taught a lot of what you hear me teach now, but I created a program specifically. It was a specific class called Voice Movement Integration. And it was about this very thing. It was about alignment. What does the script say you need to do? What is the actor saying? How does their body and their voice align with their words? And with actors, or even with humans, do you not want it to align like the I'm fine example? Okay, then we have work to do. Because there's no inner freedom in the inability to not be able to say, actually, I'm spitting feathers mad because I asked you 5 times to be on time and you can't get on time and I'm late, or whatever it is. Whatever it is we need to say in words, whatever it is we need to put in that fullest expression to be in alignment. And we're afraid to do it. We're afraid to do it because of masks. We're afraid to do it because of voice stories. We're afraid to do it because of our stuff that is internal, that is ultimately executed in sound, that is locked into our muscle memory. The alignment is what becomes important. I'm actually going to do a whole episode on voice, how from this program that I created for Mike's school, the voice needs to lead. The voice is the lead. And that is what the data that I have collected across hundreds and hundreds of a cross-section of humans shows me. It is this lack of alignment is how I was asked to come to Hollywood and coach on some shows because of what was happening to actors. And I'll talk about that in that episode that I do about voice and body alignment. I think you're going to find it fascinating, but that's why I was asked to come out there. One very specific thing around what was happening to voices in relation to what people were doing with their bodies. In that episode, I'm going to talk a lot about gestures. And for many people, they will say to me, well, I just use my hands a lot. Okay, that's problematic because that's a protection mechanism. But I digress. Back to this. The important thing to know is your words hold the least amount of power. They hold power. I used to say a lot of times, I haven't said it in a long time, but I used to say this quote. I used to say, the words are everything and they are nothing. It's how you say them that has the power to affect me. Okay, the words are important. They're the message. But if I cannot tolerate what I hear in your voice, or you do not sound like the authority, or you're asking for permission, or you've got a bunch of voice masks, I'm not ever going to hear those words. So the voice still is the most important. According to this study, with those 37 people and the word maybe, voice wasn't the most important. But if you look at a cross-section of research, a cross-section of my research and my data, you'll see that voice becomes the most important, or I wouldn't say it. It's not like I'm trying to win. If it was still body language, I would say that. But just based on, and I'll give you the exact information when I do the episode based on the research findings. Based on that, people were even stunned at how quickly they made decisions based solely on voice. They had no names, they had no companies, they had no faces. The other thing that becomes really important in this is being in alignment. Does your voice match your words, match your body? Are you in alignment? That's what we're seeking. I heard Chris Voss talking about this the other day as well, how the statistic is flawed and we throw it out there. He was talking basically the same thing I'm talking about right now. And he was talking about, it's about the alignment. And that's what I've talked about for years now. Does your body match your voice, match your words? Mind, body, voice connection. I've given the example of the ring stack. If you have children or if you've ever been around children and they have the stick that they stack the rings on, that's mind, body, voice connection. And when you are grounded in the right place, you can be mind, body, voice connected. And when you can do that, that is when you can connect with people. That is when people listen to you. That is when people are 100% trusting you. That is when things are working. When you are not, that is when you are leaving people behind. That is when people are not connecting with you. That is when people do not know where you stand, because your words are saying one thing and your voice is saying something different. And it doesn't have to be as dramatic as "I'm fine." It can be you're telling me what you do for a living and you're asking my permission. I'm a doctor of psychology. You are? Are you sure? Your voice is not in alignment with what you're wanting me to buy into. And that's why you're leaving people behind. And that's what is actually really important here. I will be rolling out the data in one of the episodes coming up very soon. I can't wait to share it with you. I've shared it with the people that participated. If you participated, thank you so much. You've already heard it. But that's it for today. Make sure you get in this free training. Your voice is the lead. It is the lead going into 2024. Can you not have success without my help? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you are internally struggling in ways you don't have to. You are exhausting yourself, holding up voice masks that you do not need. You are holding back on sounds that your people are needing to hear. You're leaving people behind. You're leaving money behind. You're leaving opportunity behind. And you're working way too hard. So let's change that heading into 2024. Join me the 19th. Go to captivatetheroom.com/voice-experience. That's it for today. I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab the Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.